ready for another Patriots Victory Monday, Keith?
I wasn't ready. No, I was surprised by that. I'll tell you what.
Huh.
But I'm ready now. Yeah, now that you ask, I'm ready.
You're caught up now?
Patriots, but yeah. I was like, I watched the game 3 times, all 22'd it. I was like, I'm looking at breaking everything down.
Look, I don't know that I could watch it a second time. That wasn't exactly a fun football game to watch.
No, not really.
But a victory for the Patriots, nothing wrong with that.
A win for the Pats, where, once again, pretty healthy underdogs. We talked about it on Friday, 6-point dogs on the road.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears, we can get into the Bears later, but had the longest active home winning streak. And the Patriots march in there and just smack them around.
So I saw that this morning. They won 8 in a row at home or something like that?
8 in a row at
Weird.
Soldier Field.
You don't want to go to Soldier Field.
House
Everybody
of
says
horrors.
It.
No, they went in there, played just fine. They went in there and just dominated. The Bears offensive line is something to be. The Bears offensive line is what a lot of Patriots fans were screaming about, thinking that the Patriots offensive line was.
Yeah.
Remember, you can't play Drake May because they're going to get him killed. I don't know. You kind of saw that last night. I guess that is what the fear was.
I mean, the Patriots made the Bears quit. I mean, they're about to fire their head coach. Eberflus is out of a job.
He's got to go.
Short order. And we were just talking about this off the air, Keith. Maybe you said some of this with Greg and Wiggy and Courtney and Curtis. They're crossing over. But, I mean, their last 2 wins, the Jets and the Bears are infinitely more talented teams. The Jets have already fired their head coach. The Bears are about to fire their head coach. The Pats had a bad loss in between. I mean, I don't care if he got to overtime or not. Losing to the Titans.
And Callahan might be one and done the way things are going in Tennessee, but yeah.
But, okay. I mean, they've beaten up on, not beaten up, they've beaten 2 more talented teams than them in the last 3 weeks. And you start to wonder, okay, they're not going to the playoffs. They're not turning things around.
I don't know. Courtney
around.
Thinks there's a chance.
Does she?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Courtney was asking if she can bet on it.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah, you definitely can. I think Shime said it's like 30-1.
Okay.
They're going to make the playoffs right now.
That's some longer odds there, but sometimes it's a healthy payout. I think they're only 2 games out of a playoff spot. I did see that last night.
Which is wild.
That's also like the whole AFC is 2 games out of a playoff spot. But okay, are they turning things around to a degree where they're on the upswing in the second half of the year? That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about going on a run, making the playoffs, certainly going on any kind of playoff run.
Yeah.
But are they to the point where, okay, they're figuring things out?
Frisky?
Are
they frisky?
They're somewhat frisky, and they're playing their way off that complete lousy worst of the worst tier in the NFL.
I think they obviously are.
They might
because,
be, yeah.
Because they're taking down some teams that now are kind of falling into the category that they were, and if they're beating them head-to-head, you know, right now, I know they and the Jets have the same record, but which 3-7 feels different, like, or better? This 3-7 compared to what the Jets are doing.
For sure.
And so they lost 6 straight games, the Patriots did, and then over the last 3 weeks, they're 2-1 with an overtime loss. You know, and I know the overtime loss was against actually the worst team out of the 3 that they faced, but I mean, man, have they gone for 2 points there? But whatever, that
you
obviously...
You could be on a 3-game winning streak.
You could be on a three-game heater, potentially, but even still, you know, the Jacksonville game felt like such a low, right? Like, that was a very winnable game, it felt like, based on the opponent. We know how much Robert Kraft cares about the international game, all that crap, and they lose to Jacksonville the way that they did. Doug Peterson was about to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence was about to be benched, and he was now hurt. But they at least bounced back from that with a win over a Jets team that's fallen apart. But that's the thing. The Patriots can still be overall a bad team, but if they're head-to-head with another team that is falling apart for one degree, can you take advantage of that? And they did. 2 of the last 3 weeks, they did. Sort of like smelling blood in the water. Doesn't mean that you're this awesome team right now, but compared to what the Bears are doing, you went in there and smacked them around, controlled the game.
Went in, smacked them around, and maybe you're figuring some things out. Like, last week, it's hard to overlook how bad the Tennessee loss was and choosing to go into the wind in overtime and not choosing to go for the 2-point conversion. But again, bigger picture, taking a step back, they've won a couple of these games now. Are they starting to turn things around in terms of being on the upswing at the end of the year and not being the worst of the worst bottom barrel teams in the NFL? They're not making the playoffs, but are they figuring some things out? You can jump in on that all day long here on Jones and Keith, 617-779-7937. You can text the program at 37937. Lots of ways to interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. You can watch and chat along, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Healthy chat going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. You can watch along there. I know a lot of you watch on YouTube as well, so make sure you mark that down, flag that as a place you can watch in the future. What did you think of Drake May yesterday, Keith? It was a defensive dominant performance.
Yeah, it really was
Patriots.
About the defense. But? I mean, I thought he was pretty good. I thought you look at him versus Caleb Williams, if you want to do that, which is, you know, where my brain goes. Number one pick versus number three pick. See how they play. And not even close. Not even up for debate who the better quarterback was yesterday. He kept some plays alive, made some incredible throws. Also, like, I don't know how much excuse you want to give him because they're NFL quarterbacks, but it was incredibly windy. It was like an insane game. Maybe that affected the passing game for both teams. But I look at that one throw. If KJ Osborne understood the rules that you can't run out of bounds. And
how many receivers of theirs are going to do that?
All of them at some point. Can you imagine if he turned that into a touchdown?
Oh, yeah.
Drake May did everything he could.
Played it perfectly, yeah.
Oh, he's going to get sacked. Oh, no, he's going to run out of bounds. Oh, no, he's going to throw it away. Oh, no, touchdown. Oh, but this guy's running out of bounds.
Yeah.
Like, that was an insane throw. I also loved, and I don't know if everybody likes this, but some of his throw the ball away left-handed crap. Like, I like that. I think that stuff's fun and it's useful.
You weren't in the room. You were down here doing the crossover. Yeah. Nick and I were talking about that. I think the biggest thing yesterday, and that plays an example of it, where he threw it away left-handed.
I like it.
The biggest difference is Caleb Williams panics when he's under pressure, and I don't think Drake May does.
No, pretty cool.
No quarterback is better under pressure, meaning like a pass rush.
I don't know, Tom Brady would tell you otherwise.
Meaning a pass rush.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it was clear yesterday. One of the traits I like in a quarterback is when the pressure's around them, they keep their eyes up and try to make a play, or do they drop their eyes and run for their life?
Yeah.
And yesterday, Caleb Williams was dropping his eyes, running for his life. And Drake May has his eyes up trying to make a play.
Now, yeah, you think there's still plays to be had. And sometimes he runs. Yeah. And he also didn't go crazy with the running. Like, he came off of a near 100-yard rush game.
Yep.
So you're like, all right, is he going to look to do that more? Nope. He ran four times, you know, kind of when he needed to. And then other times, like, all right, I'll just live to see another down and would throw it away. And then also made some great throws. Obviously, he had the interception that he would.
Well, that's what I was
going to
say. Yeah, he's still going to turn it over. The interception was brutal. He claimed he was trying to throw it away.
I don't know if that's true, but
I don't think so either.
He's trying to make plays, and I think the positive plays outweighed the negative plays for him. And that's also, what is this, start five? Something like that in his career? So if he throws a pick like that, so be it. Every quarterback in the league is going to throw picks in these games. But you also got to score points. And they didn't, like, light up the scoreboard or anything, but based on what their defense was doing, they didn't need to. They didn't need to score a lot of points. So I thought, once again, he had a really good game.
So he did lead, what was it, five scoring drives yesterday? Four field goals?
Yeah, four field goals.
And a touchdown. Now, they bogged out in the red zone.
Uh-huh.
I'm not telling you it was May's greatest day. But a lot of what he did, like, was, I mean, on the field, definitely, Caleb Williams looked terrible. Caleb Williams looked panicked, rushed. Again,
he gets sacked nine times.
And I think a lot of them were his fault. I don't just think it was the Patriots scheme. And I know he had injuries on the offensive line.
Offensive line was bad.
But a lot of the sacks he took were his fault.
Nine times.
So he was under duress for sure. But I don't think he helped anything by dropping his eyes, panicking, and running around.
No, he was bad.
May outplayed him on the field. May also had some of the intangible stuff, like the report during the game.
Yep, that was great.
That he addressed the team during the week.
The offense wasn't doing well in practice, and he talked to the entire offense.
They had a couple of stagnant plays. He asked Alex Van Pelt, can I address the entire offense? And he did. And I just think that shows maturity and leadership. And I don't know that Caleb Williams has those things. I don't know that he's a leader. I don't know that he's mature. And I think you see some of that with Drake Williams. Those are the red flags on Caleb.
Drake May,
Drake May. Those are some of the flags on Caleb Williams coming in. Not his talent level, but can he be a leader?
Man, it was a bad day for Caleb Williams.
It was horrible.
It was a bad, bad day. And head-to-head with Drake May, and I know Jaden Daniels lost, but just the season that Daniels is having, you know, we talk all the time about how Drake May was, you know, Elliott Wolf gets really no credit for it. Like, you're the third pick in a top three quarterback draft, boom. Meanwhile, Chicago picked Caleb Williams over these other two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. Like, I wouldn't give up on Caleb Williams yet. But, like, he got completely outplayed. But it wasn't just on the field. There's the stuff, Drake May's talking to his teammates. Everybody's feeling great. He's doing all this stuff, and he's looking like a real leader. Caleb Williams is laughing. He's sitting by himself on the bench. Nobody with him. He's, like, ignoring his offensive coordinator, which I also would do.
Yeah.
I think his offensive coordinator's terrible.
His offensive coordinator's going to be gone soon, I think.
He is also going to be gone soon.
Yeah.
But also one of the really kind of telling moments in the game was one of the nine sacks that he took. He's down on the ground. Nobody runs over to him. This is the kind of crap I think you can read into. Nobody runs over to him. You see it in basketball every once in a while when, like, a guy goes down and, like, the teammates just stand around. You're mm-hmm. like, all right, that's not good. Nobody runs over to him. Anthony Jennings picks him up and, like, pats him on the head like he's a little kid. He's like, yeah, get up.
Good job there, fella.
Like, we're going to get you on the next down, too. But it's like, I think he's miserable. The offensive line's bad. The offensive coordinator is bad. The receivers have checked out or are just fat and, like, past their prime. And then he's running for his life. He's scared because he's getting hit on every play. But the Patriots must have smelled that early in the game and then just took it to him the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, they must have, that must have been the most confident game the Patriots defense has ever played. Because they were just, anything they wanted to do was coming up. How many yards did they allow? Less than 200?
Oh, total? Yeah, probably.
That's insane. For an NFL game like that?
Let's see. Total yards for Chicago yesterday, they had
to be under 2.
142.
Under 150. Like, that's insane.
It's not good. Text 37937. This is a good question.
All right.
Do you think the Bears, as of today, would trade Williams straight up for Drake May?
Yeah.
You
and
do?
Today, yes. And maybe you know, just because of the results and the way things are going. But it's probably the entire package. Now, I was a Caleb Williams over Drake May guy at the draft, even last week when we were talking about it. I'm like, I think it's early to give up on him. I don't think his career is over by any means. I think that would be jumping the gun. Because he can still kind of thread it. Like, he missed open receivers, which a lot of young quarterbacks do.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had a couple with, like, guys are covered, and he just threads the needle. So you can see where the ability is. I think I may have. I had a hilarious meme yesterday, Jones. Spider-Man meme.
I liked it.
Alex Van Pelt, Shane Waldron, same guy. I might owe Van Pelt an apology. Shane Waldron, worse.
Yeah.
How about that one play? It was like 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2. They throw the ball to DJ Moore 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Good play. Always a good play.
He has no wiggle. But DJ Moore is toast right now. He looks awful. And he like didn't even try to make a move and got like tackled for like a loss of 3. And you're like, that's the play? So I wouldn't give up on Williams, but I mean, if they could trade him right now for Drake May after seeing him and then hearing all these stories about what kind of like leader and all the intangibles that he has, I bet they would.
Okay. I think so too. And I think they trade him for Jaden Daniels. And I think if the league were redrafting, it probably goes Daniels, May, Williams right now.
What about Knicks?
I think Knicks
was outplaying Patrick Mahomes for a minute.
Knicks is probably still 4, which is not where I would have drafted him coming in, Keith. I'm sorry. He got drafted after Penix. I think Knicks would be 4 now.
Yeah.
Is Caleb closer to Knicks than he is to May and Jaden Daniels?
Hmm.
I don't know that I'm quite ready to go there, but come talk to me in a couple of
weeks.
Because Caleb Williams was wildly unimpressive, and here's the problem. He's quitting, the team's quitting, and he is a leader on that team. And when he checked out after that Hail Mary or whatever's going on, and they lost faith in Eberflus, they lost faith in Waldron, now the whole team is following his lead.
Oh, they're a mess.
And that's the problem with Caleb Williams. That's why I didn't like Caleb Williams in draft season.
You think we hear about Eberflus getting fired today?
Probably.
I mean,
I wouldn't rule that out one bit.
I think we're going to have breaking news at the breaking news desk, and Billy's going to tell us he's gone.
It's going to be a race between him, Doug Peterson, and Mike McCarthy today.
The fighting over who gets fired first.
I know Jerry Jones says he's not making a coaching change in season.
Peterson
was, did you hear this? Peterson was lecturing media members yesterday, being like, yeah, I would explain to you what happened on that last Mac Jones interception, but even though I explained it, you guys wouldn't get it.
Wow.
Like, that guy's
smart. He's a smart guy, obviously.
He's about to get fired.
Yeah.
Eberflus is about to get fired. And here's the problem. The players are following Caleb Williams. Bad body language, bad leadership, bad teammate.
Yeah.
That's what he was at USC. That's what he is again in Chicago.
Yeah, it's not going great.
Drake May, I think, is the opposite. Now, tell me if you like this or not, Keith. I don't know if you were a fan of this. I want your reaction to it. This is Drake May at the podium. He goes after Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Gonzalez is getting asked about Drake May, and apparently he was, like, shouting out from the side. He's like, hey, it wasn't about me today. It was about the defense. After that interview with Gonzalez happens, Drake May goes up to the podium and starts off his press conference by saying this.
Oh, phones down, notepads down real quick. Just clap it up for the defense, man. Clap it up. Somebody else clap up. There we go. Appreciate you. There we go.
So I hate that.
That was team cheerleader Scott Zolak clapping along
yeah.
there. What were you saying?
I hate it.
You don't like that?
No, not at all. Like,
you like what he's trying to do?
So I get it. I get, like, giving the defense a ton of credit for it, and, like, that's great, and I don't know. He hasn't been in this situation a lot. Like, they even said it was his first walk-off interview that he's done on the field. Mm-hmm. He had the sideline reporter was from Fox.
Laura Oakman.
With the hair. She's, like, holding onto her hair, asking, like, the worst questions ever. Anyway, that was a mess of an interview. But he did that, and he did a great job with that. But there's a difference between, like, talking to the fans or even talking to like Hart and Arcan later today. Like we're different than like the beat reporters that are down there.
No, phones down, notepads down real quick.
No, that's like Matt Patricia, but it's the opposite, right? It's with the opposite intent, but like when Patricia told guys to like sit up in their chairs, it's like, no, dude, like we're going to cover the team. And they're not supposed to be fans. That's the other thing. I don't know if everybody gets that or cares, but
well, one person there did.
Beat reporters aren't supposed to be fans. Like one of the rules.
Somebody else clap up. There you go.
I think the awkwardness took over. Like in that situation, I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I would clap, but maybe you're just like, all right, dude. Like, let's just get to the
start the press conference. Wait, he's not going to start till we clap.
You're not at like a season ticket holder event, being like, let's give it up for the defense. Like, oh, the defense. Like these are supposed to be impartial. Reporters, they're not fans. I know a lot of like, a lot of them probably are, but like, they're not supposed to be.
They kind
of
are.
They kind well, the Patriots are. The younger Patriots fans or Patriots fans. The younger Patriots reporters are fans and whatever, but you're not really supposed to be. So I thought that was pretty cringy. That's probably my only criticism of Drake May from yesterday.
So to me, I like what he was trying to accomplish there, but
it's weird.
It was a little hollow. It felt a little. It's like, hey, clap it up. You get one guy to clap along, and so. Like, I played this for a buddy of mine yesterday after the game ended. It wasn't quite Let's Go Red Sox, but it was a little Let's Go Red Sox.
It's
a little Let's Go Red Sox.
But also, it's like you're 3-7.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you won the Super Bowl, like that's not something
you would do. Here's what I give him credit for. He's not making it all about him versus Caleb.
No, that part's good.
He's not turning it into his team. It's my team. It was my day. This, that.
Yeah.
It was me. He's trying to give the defense credit. I don't know if that was the best execution, but I do think his heart's in the right place, and I give him credit for that.
Well, because it's
not that different.
The Twitch chat's pointing out that is not that different.
It's really not.
The big difference is... As the Twitch chat points out, he's 22. Werner's like 72. There's a big difference there. This is my hope.
Mm-hmm.
10, 15 years from now, they're doing like a documentary or a football life on Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
And he watches that clip and just like laughs. He's like, oh my God, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
That's the hope. Like, you know, he has this Hall of Fame career and they're like, they show this clip and maybe even forgot about it. He's like, do you remember when you walked out into the podium and you said, clap it up for the defense? One guy clapped for you? So hopefully that's what it is, because, that was pretty lame.
Like, his first real win. That's his first real win.
Yeah.
And he's giving credit to his teammates. Like
I like that. The message is good.
The execution was poor.
Correct.
The execution was poor, but his heart's in the right place. And juxtapose it with the last guy. Juxtapose it with Mac. Like, Mac's not doing that, and Mac's not addressing the team and getting up there in front of the team and crediting the team the way that Drake May was. I never liked how Mac Jones carried himself. And I will give Drake May credit for trying to do the right thing there. I don't think it was great execution. And
Caleb Williams would say, hey, let's give it up for the defense.
Thank you. Caleb Williams, goes out there and has it wasn't even a dominant performance, but a dominant team win. He outduels another high-level quarterback. Is Caleb Williams going to say, clap it up for the defense? So I do give Drake May credit for his heart being in the right place, trying to get the right message there. I don't love the execution. I'm with you on that, Keith.
Yeah, it's just weird.
He's talking to the media, not fans, not teammates, not coaches. I get that.
The moral of the story is just complete the ball.
I mean,
he didn't do that yesterday. Spoiler for what happened. Yeah. Mac Jones did not complete the ball.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do well in that. And so, look, I like a lot of those intangible things with Drake May, and I think he is a leader.
Yeah.
And that's a real good sign for the organization going forward. Even if there's some uncomfortable moments like yesterday, that's a good sign, because you could have a guy like Caleb Williams on the other side, slumped shoulders, bad body language, bad teammate, and instead you have this guy, and I think that's good.
No, I think everything you started by asking, like, is the direction pointing up? I mean, 100% it is pointing up. Part of that is the quarterback switch. I mean, when the team was scuffling, and I know they put Drake May in the Houston game, so at that point they were 1-4, but you look back at that first Jets loss, the Niners loss, and then even the Miami loss, which was a close game scoreboard-wise, but it was just such a slog. It was just an ugly game. Like, they needed that spark. They needed that kick in the ass. And I know so many times you'd hear, a quarterback can't make the O-line better, and the quarterback can't make the defense better. I don't know. I think it kind of can. And when you're the best player on the field at the most important position, I think you can kind of overcome that. And also, I do think there's a trickle-down to the other side of the ball. And I know people are, you're giving them credit for the defensive performance. I'm not going that far. I'm just saying there were years with Tom Brady's offense when the offense was so good that the defense benefited from that.
100%.
You know, there were certain situations that are like, all right, now we're playing with a big lead, and now we can just kind of rush the passer nonstop, like all these different things. Or, you know, not too many tilted fields. I know May had the one interception, but it wasn't three turnovers like we've seen him have before. So I think inserting him has given sort of like a boost to the whole roster, and you can kind of see it over these last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they take less sacks because I think he's more mobile back there. He keeps his eyes up, unlike Jacoby Brissett, who took a ton of sacks. Those were on him.
Yeah, nobody would say the offensive line now is great.
No.
But he took one sack, and yeah.
It looks better. Yeah. I mean, the offensive, they had a brutal week against Tennessee, but largely on balance, and Drake May got in there, the O-line looks better. The weapons around May look better. They're not good either.
Running out of bounds.
The defense yesterday looked better. And so, to me, there's a few takeaways. Number one, are the Patriots turning things around? Where they're going to be competitive down the stretch, where they're not going to be a bottom-tier team anymore, and the arrow's just pointing up a little bit in the last month-plus of the year, last couple of months of the year. Is the arrow pointing up a little bit for the Patriots? You can jump in on that again, 617-779-7937. And what'd you think about Drake May, out-dueling, if you will, Caleb Williams yesterday? Who would you take out of those two? I think that answer's pretty clear. And how do you feel about Drake May, the leader of the Patriots? I will get to all your phone calls on that. Again, you can text the show at 37937. Watch along on Twitch and YouTube as well. Let's get into Drake May and his leadership right after Trending with Billy Lanning. He turned 22 on August 30th, Keith.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's a pretty aware...
What were you doing at 22?
Mature thing. Oh, God. I just buried in PBRs.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a self-aware thing. He's like, yeah, I might have fumbled some words doing it, but he felt the team was just going through the motions of practice, which, by the way, with this team, I could totally see.
Yeah, no. No way.
Like, he felt, as 22, he's yeah. like, guys, we're just going through this, yep. and we're struggling to pick up a yard in some of these games, which I thought was a good point by him. The Tennessee game, they can't get a yard when they need to.
Right.
We're all over Alex Van Pelt for it, but... Maybe guys are half-assing it in practice, and Drake May's
Maybe.
Like, wake up, let's yeah. focus, these are important plays. And that takes a lot of maturity, a lot of self-awareness, and the defense was phenomenal yesterday. It's easy to go up and retroactively be a leader and, you know, give everybody credit in a dominant team win. He was doing that during the week leading into the game.
Yeah, it's a pretty good sign.
I think that's arguably the most promising yeah. thing about him, even beyond what you see on the field.
Because it almost has to be the quarterback. Like, I mean, there's got to be very few examples of, like, the leader on offense, let alone the leader of the team not being the quarterback. And they don't all have to have the same style. I'm sure plenty of quarterbacks communicate with their team differently, but you got to communicate with them somehow,
yeah.
and you got to get them going and working together somehow. And then you also, this is where, you know, we were talking about, like, wins for the team and wins for Mayo, wins for May. This is where also that really helps Drake May. So this is almost like twice as important because he sends the message during practice. They clearly buy in enough, and then the results are there.
And you got to back it up.
Yeah, because we were talking about that with Mayo. Like, if Mayo says certain things, and then they go out, and then they lose, and it's like, all right, well, how many weeks can you talk about change? How many weeks can you say this when it's the same result, same result? It's such a shot in the arm to address the team the way that he does and then go out there and – back it up, and the team is able to come out with a win. Like, that is huge for him.
Yeah, and look, he might have fumbled his words, and he might have been awkward when he was, hey, let's clap up the defense, guys. No pads down. That might be a little awkward.
It is.
But his heart
might be.
Heart's in the right place.
Yeah, he is.
And he's trying to do the right thing. And let me ask you this, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Could you see Caleb Williams doing that during the week? Like, could you see Caleb Williams? We don't know enough about him.
Doesn't seem like
it. Does Caleb Williams seem like he's going to say, hey, guys, let's focus. Let's get on this here because it could be important on game day, and I want to address the team about it. I couldn't.
No.
Could you see it with the last guy, Mac Jones?
Definitely not.
Okay.
I want to go home and cuddle with my dog and watch some shows.
So, and this is
I couldn't
me.
See it with those guys. Hang on.
Yeah.
Could you see Brady doing it?
I could. Don't think so?
No, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. He would. Yeah.
I'm not telling you this kid's Tom Brady, but like, there is something to that position, quarterback position, leadership position, where that stuff's important. And it isn't purely about talent. And I'm like, King Talent guy.
Yeah.
But
King Talent Jones.
Even with Caleb Williams, I'm like, ugh, I don't know that a team's going to get behind that guy. And I'll be honest.
It's funny. There was a scene.
I didn't know as much about it with Drake May, but
yeah, I feel better and better.
It. Yeah,
it's funny. There was a scene in the Dynasty, one of the ones that was actually decent enough, where Bruschi was talking about when Tom Brady got the job over Bledsoe, and like early on in that time, he tried like firing the guys up, and they're like, "All right,
they're
calm
like,
down,
come on, dude."
But at least it was in there though, right? Like he was, he was trying to do it, and then eventually they clearly turned things around. The team was a wagon. So if he's already doing that and he feels like he can do that at this stage of his career, that is such a great sign. Like, that, I think, is only going to improve going forward.
No, I would agree with that. And again, like, not to turn him into Brady, but that's the kind of thing you could see Brady doing. And I'm not sure you would have seen it with the last guy. I'm not sure you see that with Caleb Williams on the other side. So the Patriots with a dominant 19-3 victory yesterday over the Bears, 9 sacks on defense. Patriots have now won 2 out of the last 3 weeks. And we're joined right now on a Patriots Monday by Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Henry, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing good, man.
I think we're all doing good after that win yesterday. 2 wins in 3 weeks, overtime loss sandwiched in between. What's been the biggest difference in the team over that stretch over these last few weeks?
Yeah, I think we're just, we're playing better football, playing complementary football, keeping the pressure on the other team in a way, and finding ways to win. Obviously, last week, wish we could have found, some kind of way to win that one, but, just to bounce back, especially on the road in a hostile environment, a good football team, to kind of come out and play the way we did is big time.
You know, there was a lot made on the broadcast, and then Drake May even talked about it after the game when he was asked. But he addressed the team. He said the offense wasn't performing great at practice, and then he sort of stepped in and talked to the team. What can you tell us about that moment from last week?
Yeah, I mean, he's just continuing to come along. He's doing a great job in all aspects, man. He's fun to play with, fun to compete with, and it's fun to continue to kind of grow with him and how he sees things, how we see things. Kind of mesh those things together.
How would you describe him as a leader, and do you see him as a leader on this team?
Yeah, I mean, he's got that. He's definitely got a lot of leadership qualities, and he's doing a good job of not, doing too much either, just because he still is young, but he's doing just enough. He's letting his play, I think, do most of the talking, and then, if he has to say something or needs something, it's usually communicated, but he's doing a great job.
You know, it felt in many ways kind of like the first couple weeks of the season where you guys really were able to establish the run. Kind of gotten away from that over the last few weeks, but how did you guys feel as far as moving the ball? I know Ramondre is up to 20 carries, and the team as a squad ran it really well.
Yeah, it was. It's always good to get those backs rolling. Ramondre is a terrific back and has, so much on his skill set, man. Just like vision, power, quicks, everything that you need in a back. And so to get him rolling a little bit was positive and exciting to kind of see him kind of be able to break some open, continue to wear on them a little bit, and also just keep our defense off the field a little bit on some of those drives, even though maybe some of the drives we didn't, finish like we wanted to, but still to kind of, control the football, take a little air out of it, keep our defense off the field, always big.
Have you ever at a press conference asked the media to clap for your defense? Because as much as I love Drake May's day, that might be the one thing I would say he might want to do over.
I didn't see that. So he led
his press conference with put down your phones, put down your notepads, and let's clap for the defense.
Give it up for the defense.
And like one guy was like, yeah, all right. Maybe not the place. Yeah.
Oh, that's the place. What are we talking about? That's great. 100%. Look at our defense. When they play like that, you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
How about for the tight end room? No shout outs for the tight end.
Nah, that's too bad.
Yeah, shoot. Hoop showing up big time yesterday, man. Super cool. Just kind of see a bunch of different guys kind of get going in the passing games. What we need, man. We need to have all different guys kind of involved, and it was really cool to see Hoop get going and make some big plays for us yesterday.
What sort of growth have you seen this year out of Jerod Mayo as a head coach?
Oh, a ton. He's a great head coach, man, and he's continuing to grow. I mean, each game he puts behind him, I think he's learning in so many different ways, just on how to motivate, how to, do in-game situations, everything. And I love playing for him and looking forward to continuing to build it.
Now, you've also played for 4 different offensive coordinators in the 4 years that you've been here. What kind of comfort level do you see now in Alex Van Pelt as we're halfway through the season?
Yeah, I love AVP, man. He brings a lot to our room. I love his scheme. I love the offense. You know, he's got a great scheme, and it's always exciting every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday coming in and kind of seeing the game plan and how we're going to execute it to come out with a, you know, to be successful on the field and, you know, come out with a win. So I've really enjoyed being in this scheme.
Two-part question here on Kendrick Bourne. He was a healthy scratch yesterday. I mean, number one, you're in that same offense. You know, you're working in conjunction with that skill group. Does that impact you in any way, just the changes week to week in who's up and who's down personnel-wise?
No, I just try to lock in. What we got, a lot of good football players, and we're continuing to build, continuing to get better. And so, no.
He was a healthy scratch yesterday. He's got positive energy, though. You see it on the field. We know it from talking to him as well. You know it as a teammate. What does it say to be a healthy scratch but still involved as he was yesterday?
I think KB is an ultimate teammate. He's an ultimate competitor, and he's what you want any guy in the locker room, man. He really is. He brings so much energy. He's a joy to play with, a joy to be a teammate with, and just, man, he's a brother for life for sure. Spent a lot of time, obviously, these last few years with him, and it's just a joy to be around a guy like that and a guy that we need in this locker room.
And then last thing for me, Hunter, how good was it to see Jalen Polk get in the end zone? It has not been a great season for him, but he gets in the end zone, and is that something that can sort of build momentum for him going forward?
100%, yeah. It was big for him. It was a big play, great design, great scheme. And he was able to execute his job at a high level. So always good to see our guys get in the end zone like that, and especially Paul.
I don't know how often this pops up during the year, but your next opponent, the Rams, are on Monday Night Football tonight. Is that a game you're going to make a point to sit down and watch?
Yeah, I'll watch a little bit for sure.
Is that what can you learn or glean from a TV copy versus when you guys get into the tape? Is there anything, or is it more like getting familiar with scheme, personnel, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's probably more personnel and scheme for me. Sometimes the TV, it's hard to like see the true film that you got to study and watch. You know, the TV's like kind of zoomed in a little bit more, so it's a little hard sometimes to see the back end on things and, you know, rotation on different things. So usually you wait for film on that kind of stuff, but yeah, just mainly personnel, scheme, different things like that.
Okay, he's Patriots tight end Hunter Henry here on a Patriots Victory Monday on WEEI. Hunter, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Hunter Henry joining us here, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. He liked the clapping up.
He liked that. Yeah. Well, I think, like you, he likes the message. I just don't think it's really the place for it, is all I would say.
Six Patriots beat writers on the road. And
the handful that travel to Chicago.
The bowels of some Chicago weight room or wherever
they
do this.
We got to try to make our flight. Can we just get through this? We're not going to give a round of applause for the defense right now.
Look, it's one of the things I like most about Drake May that we've come to learn over the last few weeks. On the field, I think you knew the talent level. I think you knew Caleb Williams didn't have that as a leader. But
yeah, it showed pretty clearly.
You didn't really know with Drake, though. You didn't really know.
Yeah. You were hopeful, and then you see it. You hear about it.
We talked to Mac Brown right after Drake May was drafted, right? His college coach at UNC.
Yeah, and he liked him.
Well, he said he had all that stuff, but you don't know. I mean,
oh, no, every college coach. We talked to Cole Strange's college coach after they drafted him.
What a
leader! The guy's like Tony Pacelli, and you're like, I don't know.
Don't ask Bruce Smith.
Bruce Smith says he should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Don't ask Bruce Smith.
No, but every college coach always likes their guy. But yeah, no, that is a huge step forward for Drake May. And then the result is huge. I know he didn't play all of the Jets game, but these last three games, two wins, an overtime loss, like you can see the positive momentum building.
Arrow pointing up for him and the team. Now, what does that mean at the end of the day? The difference in the number three pick and the number eight pick? I mean, I don't know, but I do think they're making progress, and that's a good sign. And I would lump in Jerod Mayo with that as well. We've been very critical of Jerod Mayo at various points this year, and I think rightfully so. How much credit do we give the coaching staff for yesterday? Let's get into it with all your phone calls next. Jerod Mayo following the Patriots' 19-3 victory over the Bears yesterday.
He was in the box. He's not in a box.
No, right.
Just to be clear, Schooler was in the box.
You don't want to put him in a box, but he was
the box specifically, yes.
He was a box player yesterday. No, it's true.
That was actually awesome.
Okay, it was. I would have guessed he played more than five snaps. Brendan Schooler only played five snaps in the Longhorn package yesterday, Keith.
Longhorn, they should do more Longhorn package.
Okay. And I don't want to go too far with like the Brendan Schooler stuff, but it's like, oh, You schemed something up.
Creativity.
Oh, wow, you were creative.
I love it.
Wow, you had a package ready to go specific to Caleb Williams. You're going to spy Caleb Williams and Brendan Schooler. You're going to use the speed and athleticism.
Awesome.
It was a game. You had a game plan for this game. And I'm shocked. It felt like more than five snaps, but whatever. Five snaps, it helped you yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It showed that they can spin the dial a little bit, scheme it up a little bit, game plan a little bit. And I have not felt that a ton this year, Keith. And I think that was another good sign yesterday.
Oh, it was a great sign. And even though you could talk about the Bears offensive line and their quarterback and everything else, like you still had to go out there and do it. Not every team that the Bears have faced this year has, did they look like this? Did they look this bad? Like they completely exposed it. And I mean, nine sacks as a team is insane. So Brandon Schooler gets one. The other thing is, if you look up and down the Patriots defensive roster, it's not amazing.
No.
So you have to, at that point, give credit to Covington and Mayo. Both of these guys we've been critical of, everybody's been critical of, because you're like, hey, you basically promoted two of your defensive guys that were here last year when the defense was pretty good. You've lost some guys due to injury, whatever. You also re-signed a bunch of guys. Why is the defense in certain weeks so much worse than it was a year ago? Well, not yesterday. Yesterday was one of their best performances they had. So by default, I think we have to give Mayo and Covington credit for, you know, having Del Pettis play as well as he has, and that the dude Jeremiah Farms playing as well as he did. Like, just grabbing random dudes and having a great defensive game. I give him credit.
So I know we were all listening to this down the hall when Mayo was talking to the Greg Hill show this morning. And if you missed any of that, it's on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also watch along on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. You can find our Hunter Henry interview there as well. He was kind of giving Wiggy some crap about lining up these two rosters, the Bears roster versus the Patriots roster. And we did some of this last week, Keith.
We were ahead of the curve, obviously.
We were mostly focused on what's around the quarterbacks, not the full roster, but we were mostly focused on the offense. And Caleb Williams' play versus Drake May's play and what Caleb Williams had around him, which I legitimately felt was one of the best situations ever for the number one overall pick.
It looked like it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I was wrong about that.
It is not.
So you still look at, on paper, what they have around him. Three NFL wide receivers, an NFL running back, a good tight end. Not a great offensive line. I'd still take their offensive line.
See, that was the one issue. It never was very good, week one.
But. And we didn't spend a lot of time on this, but Chicago has a good defense. That is a good defense for Chicago.
Yeah.
I think you saw some of that yesterday. The Patriots only scored 19 points yesterday.
One touchdown in the entire game.
Yeah. Should have been two, KJ Osborne. But whatever. So I think if you line them up, I mean, the Bears have way more talent than the Patriots.
Yeah, no, they do. They do.
Way more talent. And you need to be able to scheme things up on the margins. They did it in week one against the Bengals, where they just physically took it to Cincinnati. I think the Bengals weren't ready. Maybe the Bears are checked out yesterday, but I do give the coaching staff a lot of credit. I've given them a lot of crap this year. I still think on balance, I am not encouraged at all by the returns, but two out of the last 3 weeks, they got wins. One was without Drake May for much of the game.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it felt like they actually did their job, game plan, schemed, and I'll give them credit for yesterday.
Oh, my God. I mean, if you're going to look at the going in, similar record. Actually, Bears had a much better. They were 4-4. Pats were 2-7. You know, which team seemed like they gave a crap? Which team seemed like they were actually taking coaching versus being ready to quit at a moment's notice? And I think we were kind of on it like Thursday, Friday of last week that, yes, on paper, the Bears so much better than the Patriots, and specifically where the quarterbacks were sort of plunked into. And people were making the comments a lot yesterday being like, Drake May had nothing going for him, which I still think is true, and Caleb Williams had everything. Well, does he, though? Is Shane Waldron a good offensive coordinator?
No.
Seems horrible. Is their offensive line good? No. Seems horrible. Is DJ Moore good anymore? I don't think so. I don't think he wants to be there. He used to be really good. I think he sucks now.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen.
Don't you think that's more attitude than level up? Like he literally walked off the field last week.
Yeah, so yeah. But like they have. So whether that you want to blame Caleb Williams or Shane Waldron or whatever, like they're not getting a good DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Like he's not invested for whatever reason.
Definitely not.
And then Keenan Allen looks like he ate Keenan Allen.
No, he's so he's out of shape. Yes.
And then like Swift and Kmet are good, but like that's similar to Ramondre and Hunter Henry.
100%.
So I'll still say, yes, the Bears roster is better than the Patriots roster. I don't want to do too much revisionist history, but it's way closer than we would have thought. And, like, those names pop, and maybe there's more – there's also more pressure associated with it. Like, Caleb Williams, you're like, oh, yeah, you should probably win 8 or 9 games this year based on what you have. Whereas Drake May, it's like, hey, if you survive the year, we'll give you a trophy. Like, if you win 2 games, like, good for you. Like, you're an uphill climb. So anything he does is going to look better just by comparison.
Well, let me say this about Mayo, too, because the Bears looked checked out yesterday.
Yeah.
The Patriots did not look checked out, and Giardi had a report over the weekend where he talked to an AFC scout, and this is at Boston Sports Journal. He said, the scout told Giardi, I see a disorganized program, which leads to disorganization on the field. On defense, you have guys in the wrong gaps, players freelancing, they don't play cohesively from front to back, and you know why they've fallen off so much on that side of the ball. He says, that's it. You can't do that and expect to be good. And they could still make it work even without some of the big pieces that they've lost. He's talking about Bill and the drop-off and all these things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you have reports like that swirling around. It was a bad week for Mayo and the team in the loss to Tennessee the week prior. And he still has a little bit of buy-in. The team isn't checked out. That doesn't mean you have the answer at coach. That doesn't mean that they're playing for Mayo. But they aren't checked out, and they weren't checked out against the Jets either. And in a couple of those situations where it really could go either way and the team could completely turn and check out on their coach, they haven't. Text line's right, 37937. You're setting the bar low AF.
Oh, yeah.
No, we are.
Yeah, bud. The Vegas over-under was 4.5 at the beginning of the year, so it was already low, not just from us.
But the Bears are checked out, and the players here haven't checked out on Mayo, at least not yet.
All right, so what now? So Drake May, Jerod Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, DeMarcus Covington.
Yep.
Are all of those guys in the same role to start 2025?
I'm still going to say no.
So, yeah, right. Like, so, like, great win. I think you certainly right now you're like, all right, let's see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a lot of games left. And you can tell how different everybody feels, not just us, Monday after a win versus Monday after a loss. So, also, once you start to win a little bit, and that's all it is, 3 wins is a little bit. All right, now maybe your expectations change a little bit. Like, so if you're Robert and Jonathan Kraft, you're like, oh, well, how come we look so good against the Bears? Why do we look like this against the Rams? Or whatever, like, that kind of thing. So I'm still not convinced that
changes
all those guys
happen.
In those spots. I mean, Drake May is obviously safe, but, like, really those other 3, are they all 100% back for next year? I think it's still very much up in the air, but that's obviously a good sign. And if you string even a couple more of those games together, then maybe they do bring everybody back.
Yeah, so I think Mayo has more tests, but so far the team has not checked. The Bears, that's what a checked out team looks like.
Oh, that's over.
And they have not checked out yet. 617-779-7937. You can jump in with all your thoughts on the Patriots. We talked about a team with the arrow pointing up. Not like they're a playoff team, but a team that can be more competitive and figure things out in the second half of the year. Are the Patriots that team? You can jump in on that. Drake May and his leadership, not only did he outplay Caleb Williams yesterday, and he did, he also looks like a guy you want to build around compared to Caleb Williams, not just as a player, but as a leader. And on top of that, how much credit for the coaching staff yesterday? Again, 617-779-7937. We'll get to all of that. And the Patriots, their ceiling, what's a realistic win total moving forward? The over-under remains at 4.5. Will they hit that over? We'll get into it next.